We have the great privilege of being able to study God's Word in freedom, and we're going to do that at this moment. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. We'll be speaking on a topic that I love to talk about, missions. And we'll be talking about missions as God sees it, as we see that in this psalm. And this psalm is a long psalm. We're not going to read the entire psalm. I do encourage you to look over the rest of it at some other time, during this week possibly, if you have the opportunity. But we're going to read the first 8 verses, which gives us a good introduction to what the psalm is about, and we will make reference to some of the other verses in Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Give ear, O people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. A psalm of teaching God's word from one generation to the other. According to studies, surveys in the U.S., 84% of Americans say that the Bible is very important for them when it comes to making decisions, but less than half of them can name just one of the Gospels, and only a third know who preached the Sermon on the Mount, and the majority cannot identify Genesis 1 verse 1. Of 1,000 young people who identified themselves as Christians, 60% did not know who said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" I expect the young people here all present know that it was Cain who said that. Some time ago, we did our own survey in Costa Rica regarding the same thing, those who identified themselves as Christian, and we found similar results. Many people say they believe in God. They say the Bible is important for them, and yet, by their own admission or when asked about scriptures, many actually know very little. Well, the Bible is the key to understanding God's work, and it's the key to understand God's mission to us and through us to His Word, to His world. And this psalm comes to us from Asaph. Asaph was the chief musician for David. He wrote Psalms 73 through 83. And you can see in those psalms that Asaph had the spirit of prophecy, where he writes of things not only past and present, but of future. And God, through Asaph, in this psalm, calls to us. He says in verse 1, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." Asaph knew he was speaking for the Lord. And he calls God's law his law, and God's word his word. Now, this is a long psalm. How many verses are in it? 72 verses. 72 long verses, about the consequences of not listening to God's word. And it is a psalm about God's word, the necessity to teach it. And yet, do you know that the only imperative, the only command in this psalm is in verse 1? And as I began to study this, I began to look for God's exhortation to us, and this is the only one. Mom and Dad, how many times do you have to tell your children to do something sometimes? More than once? I asked you to clean up your room. I've asked you 3 times to clean up your room. I want you to go and clean up your room. Did you take the garbage out? Did you cut the lawn? Many times we have to do it more than once, don't we? And there are times that God says more than once. What is important? We read that God is thrice holy. He says it 3 times. But in this case, it is almost as if God says to us, I'm just going to say it once. And when Dad calls son or daughter and says, honey, I'm just going to say this once, so pay attention, then we know we'd better listen up, don't we? Well, it's almost as if in this psalm that God says, I'm just going to say it once. Give ear to my law. Heed my word. What is it that God's people were to listen to? Verses 2 and 3. I will open my mouth in a parable. What is a parable? It is a wise saying. It is wisdom. I will open my mouth and give wisdom. And so what we hear in God's word is wisdom from the Lord. I will utter dark sayings of old. I wish the New King James had changed that translation. And I didn't even ask what Bible you have in the pew. Is it the New King James? Is it the same version that I have? The NIV. I think the NIV says something different. The idea is sayings which are hidden, riddles, that which is not known. And so Asaph opens his mouth in parables, speaking wisdom. He will tell us that which is not known, verse 3, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. Now, how can this be that which is hidden is being made known? Don't we have a contradiction here? Well, I think we have here exactly what this is all about. This wisdom is totally hidden to our hearts and minds as sinners because this is God's self-revelation. And because of sin, we have become blinded and ignorant. It's a dark saying. It's a riddle. It's something hidden from us. Because our own hearts, because of sin, have closed themselves to God's revelation. But Asaph says, things that we have heard, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us because God made himself known. And God came to men, and God poured out knowledge to his people. And so, of ancient times, God told our fathers about himself. And about salvation. And so what was hidden and impossible to know has become known and revealed. Those things then should be taught. Verse 3, verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, his strength, and the wonderful works that he has done. The first element in God's mission that I wish us to see, that I wish that we see in this evening, is that God's words are not some sort of man-centered advice. I know that here in the U.S., the situation is very similar as what we face in Costa Rica. There are many so-called preachers who use the Bible to promote some man-centered message so that people might feel good about themselves, fill churches, and give money This Bible is not some man-centered advice, but God's self-revelation. It is the giving of Himself to us. And there is no true wisdom that is not revealed to us from above. And furthermore, the salvation of everyone depends upon hearing the words that God has revealed from ancient times. And so the first thing that we need to know about God's mission is that God has revealed Himself through His Word. That Word is true wisdom. This Word was revealed from ancient times. It was told to the fathers. And it is our duty to tell from one generation to another. Now, why is this so important? Why does Asaph say, "We will not hide them from their children"? We will not hide them from their children. You know, that's a stronger way of saying we will teach them. If we say we will teach God's Word, well, we might do it tomorrow or we might do it the next day. But if we say we will not hide them, you know, when you say to your little child, "I have a secret," what is their attitude? "Tell me." Well, Asaph says, "We have a secret that we're not going to hide." What do our children get excited about, people of God? The latest Disney film? You know, down in Costa Rica, especially to my household, some of the new inventions like these Wii things get there pretty slow. Those Wii things are pretty nice, some of them. Pretty interesting. Do your children get more excited about Wii than the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord? The latest Barbie? The latest cartoon series? When you hear your child talking with their friends, what do they talk about? There are some parents and some Christian parents who are very diligent about making sure their children have the latest thing. And things are not bad in themselves. But you know, no thing should come close to provoking excitement in the Christian's heart when compared to the Bible. Listen to what Asaph says, verse 4. Telling the generation to come the praises of the Lord. I think the NIV says the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. And His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. Do you catch the excitement in the voice of Asaph? There should be no competition between the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, His praises, His wonderful works, and anything else in this world. It is praiseworthy because this word tells of our God, who is our Savior, tells of His wondrous deeds, the power of the only God who can save us. We praise the Lord. We get excited about that. He has done wonders and He will get glory. There is only one way to pass on this knowledge of the ancient wisdom that was revealed long ago. And Asaph says in verse 4, we will tell. In verse 5, we will teach or make known. In verse 6, we will teach or we will declare. And this is the next step in God's mission. God's self-revelation must be taught by word and by proclamation, by written word and by spoken word. We will tell them, we will teach them, we will declare them. People of God, let us remember, the biblical faith is expressed. That is the nature of Christianity, because that is the nature of real things. Real things can be talked about. Real things are expressed. Every little boy or girl can tell you what her mommy or his mommy is like. Can tell you what his room is like, or about his pet or his doggy. The things that we experience, and the things that we love, we can talk about them. And that's how it is with the Christian. We have a story. We have a story about how our own life has been taken into God's story. Our own life has been taken up into God's plan. And that plan started long ago. And we have been invited into that plan by grace. And even though we speak about things that are invisible, yes, we speak about invisible realities. However, they are still real. And we must emphasize the verbal nature of Christianity. And a father or mother who cannot verbalize his or her faith has not assimilated the faith. And a young person who can't say anything about his faith hasn't assimilated the faith. You know, we live in a time where sentimentalism and a mystical sense has taken over the church. We live in times in which what you feel is more important. But that is the very lie that Satan used to tempt Eve. Eve, don't worry about the word of God. Eve, don't worry about what God said. Go by what you feel. And the Bible says she saw that it was beautiful and it was good. And she felt that it would be good for wisdom and for opening of her eyes. And she took and she ate. She let her feelings direct her, not what God said in His word. We have a wonderful heritage, people of God, in teaching God's word to our children and to others. Our wonderful heritage of teaching catechism, of Sunday school, of Bible school class. We must never let that go. Of Christian education. You know, a little girl in our school, she's just a kindergartner. She came running up to me. And her teacher has been with us from the very beginning of the school. And from the day we opened the door. And this little girl said, guess what we learned in Bible today or in school today? I said, what, honey? God, this is a kindergartner. I think she's six. God is one God, but He's three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what she learned that day. You know, there is no other way that she could have learned that except verbally. If you tried to present it pictorially, it would be blasphemy. She was taught that by her teacher through words. Please remember that the ancient cultures at the time of Israel used nonverbal transmission of religious truth. They had dramas. They had liturgical dances. They had drawings. They had religious art. They had hieroglyphics. You know, God had lots of choices when He commanded Israel to pass down the knowledge of God, but He chose one form. He chose His word. And Christians have been called people of the book throughout the ages. Now, there is an urgency to Asaph's words here. We stopped at verse 8. But I'd like to pick up there if you have your Bibles open. I guess I'll read in the version that everybody else is reading in here. Verse 8. They would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose heart were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to Him. The men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by His law. They forgot what He had done, the wonders that He had showed them. And what happened? Verse 21. This is what happened. When the Lord heard them, He was angry, and fire broke out against Jacob, and His wrath rose against Israel. You see, without the knowledge and the fear of the Lord that only comes through the Scriptures, there will be bad consequences. Ignorance and disobedience takes these forms that we just read. Verse 8, stubborn, and rebellious. This is a sad sentence upon us as sinners, isn't it? We're not only blind and ignorant, but we are stubborn in our blindness and ignorance. We are rebellious in our blindness and our ignorance. That's what happens when God's word is not what directs our hearts. Verse 9, the men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back. We become cowards. If it is not God's word believed and trusted, we will all become cowards. We will turn back when we should stand firm. In verse 10 and 11, they did not keep God's covenant. They refused to live by his law. They forgot what he had done, the wonders he had shown them. They became thankless. They forgot what God had done. They didn't care. They didn't keep alive from one generation to another the wonders God has done. They could care less. They became thankless. And of course, as we read in verse 21, and you can read further in the psalm, it gets worse. Judgment came upon them. They were punished. And so this is the final step in God's mission, people of God. He instills a sense of urgency in the hearts of his people. God's truth is ancient. God's truth is divine. God's truth has been revealed from on high to us mortals. And God's truth is now an open book for us and for our children. And God's truth will judge all, and the rebellious will be consumed by God's wrath. Parents, we must never become complacent. People of God, the church may never become complacent. There is a consolation for us. The church's mission will be successful because God's mission will be successful, not because it is based upon us, but because God is faithful. At the end of this psalm, Asaph says that God took David, verse 70. He chose David, his servant. He took him from the sheep pens, from tending the sheep. He brought him to be shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with the integrity of heart. With skillful hands, he led them. God's purposes, in spite of Israel's rebellion, in spite of their cowardice, in spite of their thankless hearts, God's purposes prevailed by his grace because of his promise, the promise based upon his own name that he had promised to Abraham. And so we do know that the church's mission will be successful. Because David and his greater son, Jesus Christ, were raised up by God to be faithful. And we should see in David a type of Jesus Christ, who from lowly position was raised up by the Father to shepherd his people with integrity of heart. In the Old Testament, God's charge was to the people of Israel to teach their children. Of course, ever after Pentecost, the charge has now been broadened, for the promise is to you and to your children, and also to all those who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so this same psalm applies not only to us and to our children, but to those who are afar off. And we have learned all that we have learned today, that the Israelite should teach to his children, is exactly what the church should teach today, both to our children and to those who are afar off, to the world around us. We should teach them what verse 4 says, the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders that he has done. And if you study the apostles' preaching, you will see in their sermons, especially if you read the book of Acts, you will see that their message reflects very closely those very themes. God's mission. What are missions? What is the mission as God sees his own mission? Well, God's mission comes to us through the scriptures as God's self-revelation. And this revelation must be preached and it must be taught. The stakes are very high. The stakes are very high. Nothing less than eternal salvation or eternal damnation is at stake. And God has taken us, the church. He's taken us into His plan for the human race. We are part of the way that God will save His people. God isn't going to thunder from heaven and save the elect. God will only use His church. And without this mission through the church, there will be no salvation in this world. Israel became thankless, and true faith virtually died out within her bosom. I trust that will never happen to us. I trust we will never become complacent. We will never become thankless. That we will never become cowards or rebellious. I believe that that is not the case, and I thank the Lord for that. And yet we must ever be on our guard, ever beseeching the Lord for our own hearts, for those around us, and for our community. We must resist the temptation to sentimentalize the faith and to sentimentalize the church's mission. We live in a day and an age in which feelings are predominant. We must resist that temptation. God's word comes to us from ancient times. God's word to us is sufficiently clear. God's mission is before us. There have been good times that we've shared, that you've shared. There's been victories in the work, and there's also been difficult times, haven't there? And there will be good times in the future, and there will be difficult times in the future. But God calls us, heed my word, give ear, that the future generations might be taught. The end is already written. Christ will shepherd His church. The end has been written, even though it hasn't happened yet. The end has been written. Christ will build His church. Let us press on with courage and strength. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You that You have revealed Yourself to us through Your word. Father, we confess that we have been thankless. We have been cowardly. We have forgotten. And yet You in Your faithfulness in Jesus Christ have forgiven us, have taken us to Yourself, and You have given us Your word to teach to our children, to the future generations, and also to the world around us. Oh Lord, what a privilege we have to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ, co-laborers with our Lord and Savior in this world. We pray, O Lord, that You use our feeble, many times, our humble efforts, that You will use them to work the miracle of salvation in the lives of those we speak Your word to. Hear our prayer, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.